The following is a Barrett Sports Media production. We do the digging, so you don't have to.
We've got breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Bringing you the biggest stories from the industry you care about. This is the Media Noise Podcast.
Well, let's hear it.
Now, here's your host, Dimitri Ravanos.
Welcome to week three of the Media Noise Podcast. Thank you so much to everybody that has supported us through our first two episodes. We continue to grow. We continue to massage and shape whatever this thing is going to be. I believe, as Coach K is so fond of saying, you never are, you are always becoming. And that's sort of the way I view the Media Noise Podcast. We are always going to be shaping the best way to bring you the biggest stories of the week. Speaking of the biggest stories of the week, we have so many stories that you guys have clicked on like crazy at Barrett Sports Media this week. There is not enough time to get to all of them, but we are going to get to as many as we can. So I won't waste any more of your time up front. I will simply say thank you to Steve Kamer, the voice of our show, and get right into the news. So let's talk about what Scott Farrell had to say about CBS Sports Radio, Intercom, and WFAN, because boy, that was a story you guys absolutely ate up this week. Farrell was a guest on Kevin Rogers' podcast, Bet and Collect, and he was asked about his role with Sports Grid and what he saw as his future with sports gambling in that space in the media. And Farrell revealed that while he is very happy to be at Sports Grid, while he feels like he is very much at home there, it is not something he thought that he would be only doing this time last year. His goal was to be able to continue doing nights on CBS Sports Radio and add the Sports Grid shows as just another thing he did. But he says Intercom came back to him with a lowball offer to keep him, and he decided it was time to move on. And then from there, Farrell just unloads on Intercom in general, on various executives at the company, although he doesn't name anybody specifically. He unloads on CBS Sports Radio. He unloads on WFAN. I'm going to read to you a quote he had in describing WFAN. This is Scott Farrell talking about the fact that a lot of executives at Intercom and with CBS Sports Radio saw him as sort of like the dirty little secret of the company. And this is the way Scott Farrell responded. Quote, "I'm not a felon. I'm not a guy that's getting everything handed to him on a silver platter as I get out of prison. I'm not on morning shows that suck and that no one listens to. I'm not in afternoon drive that no one listens to. I'm not the guy that falls asleep on the air. I'm not the guy that when he loses to the crosstown rival retires five times," end quote. It is not a hard thing to do to guess who it is he is referring to in every single one of those particular references. Look, Farrell is a dude that clearly has a lot of pent-up aggression towards this company. And one of the things that I don't think Farrell ever outright says on the podcast, but something I've heard from other talent that has in the past worked with Intercom and has since moved on, is that there are a lot of people that are really disappointed by the way Intercom is fully embracing sports gambling. And it is absolutely not because they think it is wrong. It is because they were told to hush. They were told not to talk about sports gambling when they were employees of the company. And now the company is looking for a director of sports betting content. They are looking for someone that's going to create and lead the nature and the direction of that content. And so whether or not it is fair to bash them, I don't think that's the case. But certainly I understand the frustration with this thing that Scott Farrell says made him viewed as like a black sheep of the network, of the CBS Sports Radio network, that now the company is going all in on. It does feel just a little bit hypocritical. I do think that it is interesting that Farrell viewed the idea of Sports Grid initially as just something he would also do, because I think there were a lot of us that when Farrell announced that he was leaving CBS Sports Radio and he was going to team up with Sports Grid, kind of wondered how much sense it made, how much money there was to be made in this digital space that sort of had this deal with Sports Map Radio that maybe bought some time here and there. And we just wondered what the overall reach of that could be. But Pharrell seems very happy. He seems like from this interview that he is very well compensated by the folks at Sports Grid, and maybe he didn't need CBS Sports Radio after all. And I wonder what that says going forward about sports gambling content. Certainly, the people in the know in that side of the industry are going to be happy to take money from, be it Intercom or iHeart or Cumulus or on the TV side, ESPN, Fox, whoever. Certainly, they're going to be happy to take the money of whoever wants to bring them on board as part of their family. But I think Sports Grid is kind of proof that if you know what you're doing, people are going to come to you. If you have some name recognition, not just in the media world, but particularly with sports bettors, people are going to find where you are, and maybe you don't need to change what you do or change your approach to be a part of more traditional media outlets. Sports Grid seems to have really hit its groove with Scott Farrell there, and I'm interested to see what it is they do going forward. I also, by the way, am interested to see if and when Craig Carton reacts to this in any way. Because if there's anything we know about Craig Carton, it is that he has never seen a radio feud that he is not interested in taking up full-fledged. All right, so certainly we didn't break this story this week, but we have been all over the news this week of Doc Emrick's retiring from calling NHL games, obviously from the NHL on NBC, but his career goes long beyond that. Andy Mazur, in his grand return to the site after the baseball season, wrote something of a eulogy for Doc Emrick's career. And Andy, you are a play-by-play guy by trade, so you can probably put this into words better than I can, better than most broadcasters can that just do a show. The level of respect and gravitas you have to be recognized, not just as the voice of a team, but as the voice of a sport for multiple generations. I don't know that a lot of guys achieve Doc Emrick stature.
Yeah, I agree with you completely, because not only do you have to be a good broadcaster, you have to be a good guy. And yep. From all accounts, you know, I've met him a few times and have never had a bad thing to say about the guy, because he's always very generous with his time. And so, yeah, I mean, it's certainly it puts him in elite company. Let's put it that way.
We've heard a few names batted around for the possible successor in the main NHL booth at NBC. Certainly, Kenny Albert makes a lot of sense, as he has been the number two guy now that he is no longer the play-by-play voice of the Carolina Hurricanes. Maybe John Forslund, who's been the number three guy, makes sense. And then Andrew Marchand kicked around the idea of Mike Tirico taking over in that booth. This is not a shot at Tirico at all, but I do wonder the message it sends during a time when NBC is renegotiating its NHL contract to go from the marquee voice of the sports history to a guy with not a lot of hockey play-by-play experience.
Yeah, I would think that would be Tirico to me, you know, I really can't see that. I just can't see them going that way.
Are we staring down the barrel of this same sort of reaction of, this is the guy I grew up hearing call this sport, this is the voice I most associate with this sport? Are we staring down the barrel of going through this again in a year or two when Al Michaels finally calls it quits and they have a new marquee voice of football on NBC?
Yeah, I think we probably will. I mean, because, you know, for me with Doc, I mean, growing up as a Blackhawks fan, I mean, he resonates in my mind from 2010, 13, and 15. You know, I can't go a second without hearing a replay of that particular call or those particular calls. So, you know, it certainly resonates with me and a lot of people here in Chicago. I know that. As far as Al Michaels goes, I mean, do you believe in miracles? You're going to have a hard time telling me that we're not going to have that same kind of outpouring of love and respect for Al Michaels after all these years.
Did you see the story from, I believe this was Wednesday this came out, where they did a conference call with the media for everybody to ask Doc Emrick whatever sort of questions they wanted, and they kept sneaking in all these people to pay tribute. And the last person that was on the call was Al Michaels. And he said, you know, there is nobody that I think has had the same kind of impact on their sport that you have as John Madden. So what I need you to do now, Doc, is go invent the next great hockey video game to make sure that it's not lost on generations going forward.
That'd be good. I mean, I could certainly see that happening. I mean, maybe it'll give him something to do in retirement. Who knows? But, you know, something for Al Michaels to say that. I mean, you know, I think that kind of shows you the amount of respect that Doc has throughout the industry, not just in his own circles, but also outside. I mean, he's a huge baseball fan.
Right.
Always told me that he wanted to do more baseball.
I saw him get inducted into the National Sports Media Hall of Fame. It's here in North Carolina. And I went to the ceremony and he talked about that his goal was to be the play-by-play man of the Pirates, not hockey.
Exactly. And, you know, they let him in the booth a couple of times. I mean, he did some games and he never looked happier. I mean, he always looked happy when he was doing a game from the United Center or from wherever. But to kind of get him into the dream mode, so to speak, to get into that baseball booth, he would kibitz with me and he would say, listen, he goes, what you guys do is incredible. How do you fill all that time? And I said to myself, Doc, what you do is incredibly crazy. I mean, when there's a substitution, the umpire raises his hand, points to the press box, and we get an announcement who's coming into the game. These guys are flying over the boards and sometimes not on the same level and rotation that they have. Eastern European names. I mean, come on, man. I said, it's apples and oranges. And he said, well, let's just agree to disagree. I said, okay, you've earned that right.
So a very interesting thing happened on Sunday that I don't know that we all would have been paid attention to had it not been for a hot mic. Brandon Contis joins me now to talk about, I don't know, what do we want to call this, Brandon? Do we want to call it Flyover Gate?
Yeah, Flyover Gate's good. I think we wouldn't be talking about it if it wasn't for a hot mic, and I also don't know that we'd be talking about it if it's not the year 2020 and we're not 2 weeks before presidential election.
So a hot mic picked up Joe Buck and Troy Aikman remarking about the waste of money that a flyover seems like in the era of COVID where a stadium is not nearly very full. To me, what is interesting is that Troy Aikman has addressed this to make sure that we all know he still loves the troops. But no sort of comment on what he meant by the idea that this isn't happening under Joe Biden or Kamala Harris.
No, yeah, he did not clarify that, and I think there were plenty of people that looked at that comment and thought maybe he's disassociating himself a little bit with the Republican Party. I think there's also plenty of people that looked at it and thought he was just being sarcastic. But I do, like you said, the biggest thing that he wanted to just come out and clarify that he supports the troops.
That's right.
And just kind of he didn't apologize. He didn't, nor did he need to apologize for the comment. I don't think it was anything worthy of that. But I do think he just kind of felt that it was somewhat important to at least mention, like, look, just don't make any political make any judgments about my political beliefs based on something that I said that I thought was being said to a friend off camera, off mic, and something that wasn't meant for anybody else to hear.
So I agree with you completely. I don't even know why it is necessary to acknowledge this, and I wonder if the amount of attention this has gotten, not just at our website, but all over Twitter, the internet, other outlets that have picked up this story. I wonder if it is just the phrase hot mic carries so much weight when you think about even just the recent example of Tom Brenneman and the things usually associated with the phrase picked up on a hot mic.
Right. Yeah. And I think that certainly generates clicks, and it gets people to say, well, what did they say? And and you're kind of thinking maybe it's something even worse. Maybe he delved into something a little bit more political. Maybe he said something that could have been considered offensive. But I think when you hear what he said, when you hear how they both said it, I don't think there's anybody that could look at that and say it was something that that is worthy of an apology or worthy of having any sort of backlash other than just creating attention.
Yeah, and look, obviously Fox had no problem with it. I think by now we would have heard if Troy Aikman or Joe Buck had been removed from any sort of games over it, and that hasn't happened. And I do think that, man, maybe more than any other big event broadcaster on network television, I think Aikman's partner, Joe Buck, is under a microscope for these kind of things more than anybody else in the broadcasting business.
I mean, the other thing is, look, they were questioning about the expense of the flyovers and the fuel usage and things like that. And I think you could similarly just bounce it back to Joe Buck and say, here, Fox has a private jet flying him from Buffalo to Tampa to Arlington to Philly, back to Arlington, all in the span of 1 week. Like, what does that cost? And meanwhile, they have Kevin Burkhardt there. It's not like he's incapable of calling the World Series. So, like, they certainly would have had other options, but they chose to spend the money on flying Joe Buck around on a private jet.
Can I ask you if you have experienced the funniest thing possible with a flyover, and that is when the planes are late?
No, I haven't experienced that, but during at the height of COVID in April and May, they did a flyover.
That's right.
Over Long Island, and people were lining the highways all over Long Island. Like, everybody was pulled over trying to catch a glimpse of it. And I think I might have seen a couple of specks up in the sky that were the planes. I'm not positive if they were, but I can't imagine that there were too many people on Long Island that were excited when they actually did see how high it was and how difficult it was to even catch a glimpse of it.
Yep. Doesn't matter how old you get, let a fire truck or a jet plane go by and you're 7 years old again.
Yeah, it was crazy. Like, there was traffic jams all over the place because everybody was just coming to a stop because they thought that it might be the flyover.
All right, I want to thank both Brandon and Andy for joining me today. If you are sitting there wondering, why did they not get more into what may or may not be happening at WFAN with Craig Carton and the news that the station and Carton are close to a deal that would put Carton in Afternoon Drive with Evan Roberts? The fact of the matter is, that is something I am definitely, just like all of you, keeping my eye on through the rest of the week. But from the time I record this to the time it posts, things could have changed so drastically that I didn't want to put anything down recorded and have it instantly be outdated before you even heard it. So, obviously, as that situation develops, keep an eye on BarrettSportsMedia.com, and we will have all the latest developments for you. Until then, hit me up on Twitter at Dimitri Ravanis or on email. I am always happy to respond to your thoughts and questions there, DimitriTheGreek@gmail.com. Talk to you next week, everybody.
This concludes our broadcast day.
Thanks for listening to the Media Noise Podcast with Dimitri Ravanos. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and leave a review, and check back soon for new episodes. To stay up to date on the latest sports media happenings, visit BarrettSportsMedia.com.